The rain is falling here in LA, and so are the tears on tonight's episode of The Crown After Show, where we'll be talking about the Aberfan tragedy and which couple is celebrating their anniversary apart. You don't want to miss it.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Crown After Show on AfterBuzz TV. My name is Sahai Wilson, and I am your host tonight, where we will be talking about the Aberfan tragedy, episode 3. And we have some news and gossip for you, our special segment, Talking in the Tweets. And we have some other exciting information for you that you don't want to miss. But first, let me introduce you to my lovely co-host. Hello. Hi, Taran.
Hi, everybody. It's Taran.
Taran is our resident historian and a comedian, and I like to call him an entertainer extraordinaire.
And I'm also just simply brilliant. Here's the thing about me, what I like the most about me.
Lord.
Not only am I like extremely educated and smart, and most people say brilliant, but I'm also really humble, which I really like about myself.
Yeah, so. Which we normally don't see that humble side, but tell me, what makes you keep doing this show?
The Crown?
Yeah.
You.
Oh,
being co-hosting
it.
With you is just...
Stop it. We've been doing this for three seasons now.
This is my thing. I mean, it's my jam, you know? I say hi to say hi.
You know, thank you, Taran. I appreciate that. I keep coming back for you, too.
Yeah, right.
And again, my name is Sahai Wilson. I am your host tonight. I am a producer and host here at AfterBuzz TV and lover of all things British and royal family. So first, let's get into the... overall thoughts tonight. What were your overall thoughts of Aberfan?
Well, actually, it was a very good episode, and I think that not enough credit is given to the costume design and the set design for The Crown. Of course, we are very aware of the actors on the show simply because so many of them are award-winning actors. We all know them, and they are acclaimed. However, the set design, just to get the Buckingham Palace and the subtle nuances of royalty down, and of course the costumes, having the dress be as similar to the dress of the period of the time, as well as the outfits that were worn by the actual historic period people, that is recreated in from photographs. That's not an easy task to go about.
Right.
Getting this scene down, especially in this episode, we saw what would probably a paramount to the most special effects we've seen in one single episode of The Crown, simply because it's not a sci-fi action adventure type show. The avalanche was very real. Those children, getting all those children in place, getting them all to react in such a way. I mean, it was amazing, glorious, and yet heartbreaking all at the same time. So kudos to all of them.
Yeah, it was. This episode was super sad. Especially, I could feel the pain of the parents in this episode.
Yes.
And we'll talk about one of the actors who actually could really identify with that. So basically, this episode is called Aberfan after a Welsh city in which they had this tragic mining accident where some mining waste from the coal mines basically exploded and ended up killing over 116 people. Like 116.
It's 144 people died, 116 children, 28 adults.
Yeah.
Many of the miners were buried. I mean, we had people from the village below who basically this avalanche just crushed their half of their town.
Right, and children were buried alive in
buried school, alive.
Dying next to their friends. So
it happened around, I believe, 9:15 a.m., and it was just a catastrophe at that time, especially of epic proportion. Wales is part of the UK. It's part of the United Kingdom. It's adjoined to main London on that coast, but they have their own culture, the Welsh culture. They consider themselves Celtic. It's part of that whole Ireland, Scotland, and then Wales. And, you know, geographically speaking and also politically speaking, it's always been on the outskirts of the United Kingdom.
Right.
So this was a major catastrophe.
But when you look at the map,
at an
it's
epic
like,
time. And
yeah,
they're right there.
It's like an hour
Eastern.
Flight away.
Sure.
And it's England is to the east and the Irish Sea is to the north and west and the Bristol Channel is to the south.
It's right there.
Yeah. So here it is. There's this huge tragedy. And when it happens, everyone, you know, the people who were in Wales were immediately affected, but the royal family was not. And Prime Minister Wilson, he knew that this was going to become an issue. And so he was already on high alert. He had to use the Queen's plane. He asked to use the Queen's plane to get there. Again, we see him needing her help, which, you know, I see a reoccurring thing. Last week, he needed her help with the issue with Johnson, and now he needs her help to help resolve this tragedy. 300,000 cubic yards of coal was in this mining tip, which is five times over the 20 feet tall limit that they were supposed to. The limit was supposed to be 20 feet tall, and it was five times over.
Sure, it was in 100 feet easily.
Right.
And it was built over, if I remember correctly, there's a reservoir of water, like fresh water right under it.
Reservoir.
So because it was on this, and they had brought this up several times. And in fact, a very interesting piece of information is one of the heads of the mine said, and it could have been very damning testimony during the investigation, which took a long time.
Right.
And it's actually the investigation, and this is very interesting as well, is that the investigation into this coal mine, which was a big, big thing, is actually how Margaret Thatcher made her bones. Basically, this is what made Margaret Thatcher a household name, because she was the opposition and investigating, and she was very hard-nosed.
Interesting. And more information came out after, like 30 years later, sure, about this that will reveal.
Yeah, well, that's part of the testimony. So some of the testimony came out where they were afraid to tell anyone about the mine,
right,
because they didn't want to close the mine because it would affect the village economically so much.
So that's what I wanted to ask you. Is that why Wilson was immediately concerned, because he was worried about the finances of the country with them already being in debt, or was he worried about it becoming an issue for locally?
So there's a lot of concern. Here we look at a world that's changing.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at a world that's changing, and we see that is actually the theme. And Sehai, you brought up that Wilson is asking the Queen for help.
Yeah.
I don't think that's exactly the case. The Queen is being asked to have some role.
Well, in the beginning, like when it first happened, he was like,
sure,
I need to get there with your plane.
But it wasn't help us in, I couldn't get there another way. The concept of asking for her plane was more so to involve her. Look, the Queen is helping. Actually, Prime Minister Wilson, who, as we saw in this episode, the Queen thought was the person who was going against her, because that had primarily kind of been his role growing in that Labor Party, which is, if you know, the base of the Labor Party.
Right.
It's the People's Party is the way they build it. The concept was that Harold Wilson was actually on the Queen's side, understood the reason that they needed the crown as a figurehead, and a lot of people in his party did not, and
they didn't agree.
And so he's trying to involve the Queen and say, the Queen is also helpful. He
Definitely.
Does not need the Queen.
Later on, yes. But in the beginning, when it first happened and no one knew how bad it was, I think he just needed to get there quickly, and he knew her flight could allow him to do that. He wasn't going to fly commercial.
I think that historically speaking, that he was just trying to involve the Queen.
I don't know. I don't know if he was looking at it. The way the show played it, he was more definitely asking for her help later on as the severity of the matter occurred. So what we're talking about is that basically,
but that's actually why her servant that came in,
yeah,
was like, unless you need it yourself, Your Majesty.
Right.
That was what Wilson's plan was, to, this is the way to ask her, because he can't tell her to do something.
Right.
So that's why he used her plane. That was the whole point of why that was brought up.
Okay. Well, we see in the beginning, everyone's kind of lax about the subject. She just writes a statement she doesn't even write it. She just reads a statement.
Sure.
There is a statement written for her.
Yes.
The gentleman who is supposed to be like the head of the coal commission is out being honored at a university. And even the advisors for Wilson are like, well, I mean, why do you think this is going to be political? And he says, everything is political, Andrew.
Because the world is changing. So this isn't Wales. They're like, oh, it's Wales. And yet this is a very dangerous time. We have these movements, where, especially in Ireland and Scotland, where they want to possibly separate. And then, of course, we see, I believe in 1997, Wales decided to establish their own government as well, which this is a rising reason. We do not feel that Great Britain, we don't feel that England is as concerned about the rest of us,
right,
or that we fit in or we're a part of this. And there's that resentment in some way.
Yeah, and we see this play a role. I think this incident is what forced the Queen's hand to then show people in the countries that she kind of rules over how much she does care. Like, she can't just be a figurehead. She has to be a little bit more involved. So this incident happens. The tragedy happens. The kids get buried. People die. And there's mass chaos. And then Geoffrey Morgan from the Coal Board and George Thomas, Minister of Wales, they want to blame the rainfall. But the locals had said, look, we told you already about this, that there was a spring under the tip for years prior. So the locals had been warning them. And they also asked for financial assistance since they were out of work. And they wanted the National Coal Board to take responsibility.
And they wanted criminal charges to be brought up, which was part of the investigation. No criminal charges were brought up. And in fact, that was a big deal, is because none of the board members, no one resigned. Everyone kept their posts. In fact, a couple people were promoted during this time.
Shady.
And people were very upset, and rightfully so.
Well, I did learn that families bereaved in the Aberfan disaster were initially offered only £50 compensation by the National Coal Board. And it was also, then they ended up paying out a total of £160,000, which was £500 for each child. Can you imagine? That's it. Your child dies. Someone you gave birth to for 9 months dies. You'll never see your child ever again. And they're like, here's $500. Like,
yes, we can imagine, because in the United States, very frequently until recently, a lot of lawsuits would be brought up by unarmed Black children who were killed by police officers,
right.
And the settlements would be very
minimal,
non-existent.
Okay,
to be honest.
Yeah.
So a lot of people always think, oh, well, they get millions of dollars. No, they do not.
Not at all.
A lot of times when you go against the state, especially when they absolve themselves of responsibility, this is what happens.
Yeah, no one wants to take the blame in this situation as well. The locals want to blame the Labor Party, like you were saying, and the figureheads say the Labor Party wasn't even in power when the tip was built in 1957, and they want Wilson to do something about it. Their view is that if the Labor Party pays the price for the tragedy, then the Tories get to The Tories make political capital from it, and they would downplay the incident. Wilson's advisor, Marcia, says that they've been waiting 13 years. The Labor Party's been waiting 13 years to get to this point, so they don't want to have this tragedy blamed on them when it wasn't their fault. So we have this tug of war.
Yeah, Wilson says it in the show. Whenever a tragedy happens, the villagers throw stones at the leaders. It doesn't matter who's in power.
Right.
And that was a very poignant principle in this episode, is that the Queen just was non-involved.
For a long time.
Yeah. And we see, like, for example, when you see the tragedy of 9/11 in the United States, whether you like President Bush or did not like President Bush, the immediate action that took place right after was very politically charged and motivated, and actually led specifically to his reelection.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why when Wilson says everything's political, this is a changing time. Vietnam, the cases in the United States had shown that. It made politics progressive. There was no more just the guy who's in power stays in power.
Right.
We saw an ever-changing world where politics became more of the people's opinions.
Yeah. And what needed to happen in this case was they needed to hear from the Queen and see that she was affected by this tragedy. But in her, we see a lack of response. And that's one of the things with when we watch The Crown, there's always this like political impact, and then there's like a personal impact. So in this episode, the political impact is like, who's going to take the blame for these deaths? But you know who I don't want to take the blame? The people who don't get a chance to watch our amazing AfterBuzz shows. Can you tell us why?
No. No, I can't. If you're watching the show, it's because you know we love the show. You love the show. You are all as much, if not more so, a part of this panel than all of us here. We appreciate you. We appreciate your comments, your theories, your ideas, your knowledge. You educate us all the time. And most of all, we appreciate your subscribes, likes, and shares. So make sure to subscribe, like, and share. Spread the word. Share the love. And if you're listening to us on iTunes, give us that 5 stars we so greatly deserve. We are the world's best Crown After Show. That's not my opinion. That's all of yours. So thank you so much for making us the ESPN of TV talk.
Thank you so much. And shout out to everyone that commented on our last episode. Lisa Wiley, I'm Dancing Forever, Hal Crow Johnson, Diamond Lil, JDTV05, and Thumper E23. You even had a fan in the comments.
I always have fans on
comments. Oh, my goodness.
That's how it just should be all the time. I don't know.
We're also in the live chat. So if you have any opinions about tonight's episode, let us know.
Please.
So getting back into the episode.
My buddy Jackson's in the booth, by the way. Jackson, how you doing, Jackson?
Hey. So Elizabeth and the elites basically had a lack of response, like I said. She initially just didn't think that this was important enough for her to actually go to the site itself. So first, even her sister was coming home from a party and Tony's leaving.
Caroline's birthday. That's important.
Right. And then Tony's leaving to go. I thought Tony was just rushing to get like good photos. What do you think prompted Tony to go?
Well, this was a disaster on, Tony is, remember, he's a people person. Mm-hmm. He's not part of this royal family. He was thrust into it.
Right.
Very Princess Diana.
Yeah, he's there, but he's more than that. Yeah,
even though, once again, Prince Diana was also very well off, but not royalty.
But not too
exactly.
She was able to understand that. Hey, even though I have this access, I need to share it and use it.
Exactly. And Tony was going for his own self. This is curiosity. He wasn't going as a representative of the royal family. He was going there. He did take pictures. There are a lot of pictures that he has photographs of. And he also went there as an observer.
I was surprised. I thought he was just going to take some pictures so he can make money off of them for his own notoriety initially. But to see how affected he was when he called Margaret and told her to kiss the children. First of all, I was like, oh, I forgot they had kids. I knew they did, but haven't seen them yet. And that was interesting to see how affected he was. Then Philip goes. Still, the queen has not gone, but Philip goes.
Also, before we move on from that, the publicity aspect of it, mm-hmm. that was actually something that drove the locals furious because it became a media hailstorm. It became very paparazzi. It did get a lot of attention, and they were very rude about things. They were telling children to cry, to think of their friends, and then taking pictures just to get that teary-eyed child on the front page. Telling minors that it cover themselves with dirt and coal so when they take the picture it could look like this, and giving them a shilling or two.
Right.
It was actually
a
done
media
in poor taste, and a lot of people were very upset at that.
It takes Elizabeth over a week to go. And then when she does... Her biggest regret, to the point where she continues to visit.
She does. She actually often. Is a big... big ceremony, and once again in 1997. She goes very often, almost yearly.
And stay tuned for our special segment where we'll show you some tweets and photos of what it looks like today. So, do you think Elizabeth didn't go immediately because she was scared of seeing something so horrific? You know, she's lived a very sheltered life, or was she scared of being blamed for it?
Well, when you look at the show almost played it as if Elizabeth was afraid to go, if you use the word afraid, because she does not have the empathy that she felt would be necessary, and she didn't want people to see that. She does not want to put on the show. That's not what the crown does. Also, remember, she is part of a royalty in which they did not do this. They did not visit sites of disasters. That is the old way of doing things. Her father would never have gone. She didn't want to go. That's not the way the world she came from would have worked. However, in the world we have now, we see presidents, for example, the United States, do visit sites of natural disasters, do visit sites of unfortunate events, mass shootings, for example. They do speak on these things. That was not something that was done in the old way of doing things. And so because of that, it took Elizabeth, not only was she not, she was unempathetic, felt in a way as if her sympathy was not enough, but also stuck to regime and ritual which was the custom is for her not to go, which is why the elder was like, oh, why would she go? That's not the question.
Right.
And yet you see the younger servant, that's the clash of generations,
mm-hmm.
whereas unless you want to go, and then the elder was like, no, why would she go?
Right.
She would never go. Why would you? Even the statement seemed like it was too much.
When she did go and she visited the school, she visited the graveyard site, and then she visited the home of the families. When the man said, here's a letter from the remaining children of Aberfan, I was like, oh, that's when the tears started rolling
for you.
Because it...
Not for Elizabeth.
No, not
Nothing.
For Elizabeth, but for me, because I was like, that's when that statement there made me realize, okay, so many children have been lost where they have to use the term the remaining children. And then that little girl, she was a survivor. Can you think about it? You're like in elementary school and you're under a desk with rubble all over you. Like, that's crazy.
Well, they've done a lot of psychological evaluation of people there. That was part of the investigation, and instances of PTSD have remained severely high for groups of people that were there and affected, and also survivor's remorse, where they felt guilty for surviving. That has been a huge concern.
Well, one of the things that I read is that for the people, they shot in Aberfan, apparently, and they used extras that were there during that time. And they, prior to shooting, they had like a town hall meeting to let people talk about it. And then they also offered them counseling, so which they had never received. After, can you imagine, 30-something years and never really kind of being able to talk openly about this? It was, really a sad thing.
So. Yes. I'm a young black male in America. I can imagine what it's like to
but
have
you've never been
PTSD
covered under
and never talk about it.
Rubble, like that's
no, I haven't. It's a horrible situation.
Yeah.
It was a horrible situation. It was unimaginable. And especially in the modern day, of course, we know like Pompeii.
Right.
Things like this. Oh, but it doesn't happen now.
Right. We feel a couple of tremors here in L.A. and we're like freaking out.
Oh,
you
the
know?
Big one didn't happen. So it's just it's unimaginable. Whenever things like this happen, that's when we feel the most human.
Definitely.
And the most helpless and the most frustrated. And that's something Elizabeth also felt but didn't know how to express.
Definitely. We then move on to one of the things that before we talk about Elizabeth's emotions is that I want to speak about the way she reacted to Wilson. Because when Marcia, his private secretary, decided that she or somebody on their team was going to throw Elizabeth under the bus and say, hey, we've been hearing that she doesn't want to go. We've asked her several times and she keeps saying no, deliberately pointing the finger at her. You know, Marcia, when she spoke up to Wilson and put him in his place, I was like, wow. So we see a strong woman here. And then you have Elizabeth, who also checked Wilson again for throwing her under the bus. So we had Wilson getting beat up by like the two very strong women in his life. And it showed me that, you know, everyone has to, we have these strong female characters that everyone has to kind of listen to. I mean, I know Elizabeth has her advisors, but there are a lot of decisions that have to go through her. So I was like, I appreciate that. That's one of the things I love about the show.
Reminds me of you.
Oh, stop. With the
putting me in check for nothing. Something I didn't even do. I didn't even do it.
Yeah.
You're just yelling at me.
Yeah. So then we have, let's talk about Elizabeth's absence of emotion.
Sure.
At the end, we see that Elizabeth comes to, she's visited the site and she is now affected. And she's blaming herself. She's beating herself up for not going sooner. We do see her have this remorse. She says she didn't cry when her parents wept when they visited hospitals after the Blitz. She didn't cry when her grandmother died. She didn't cry when her first child was born. And that really spoke to her personality. My theory is that this is a woman who at a young age was told, you are eventually going to have to be queen. And I think at that moment is when her innocence died. She knew she can't be a child anymore. She can't be running outside and playing like everyone else, or even like her younger sister. She now has a huge responsibility on her, and therefore you can't just be out here being emotional all the time. You got to be tough. So that's why I think she responded this way to this incident. What are your thoughts?
She's a sociopath.
No.
Have some emotions.
Well, then
have some emotions, B-word. Okay?
Well, Harold
said, cry!
Your boy Harold also said, he said, don't beat yourself up. We saw a different side of Harold here, because here we've been thinking he's this man of the people, but really, Harold said he prefers cigars to a pipe, but he smokes one in front of his, you know, people to make them think that he's one of them. He prefers wild salmon to canned salmon, and he prefers brandy to beer. So he says no one needs.
He's never worked a day in his life, a manual job in his life. He said that. He's also of an elite, and most aristocrats and politicians are.
Right.
Regardless, most of the time they are. Let's be very frank about that.
But did the people not know this? Like,
it's not about what people know, it's about what people see. And that's a main game about politics. Politics is what differentiates us from animals. It's the game we've created to play. And that's a lot of British philosophy. Politics is a huge part of this. And so he is explaining to Elizabeth that this is the game we play regardless. I understand. This is off the record. Okay, well, let me explain. This is who I am, but I know better and I do this.
Yeah. And he says to her, don't blame yourself, which again, we see him softening towards her. I think in each episode, we see these two getting closer and closer. And it surprises me, because in the beginning, I didn't think that they were going to be this friendly, this quickly. He says, no one needs hysteria from a head of state. And that made her feel a little bit better. But then we saw that one tear go down her face.
But who's she feeling bad for? The country? Her position or herself?
I think after seeing those children, I think it was it had different levels to it. She, as a mother, was crying, and she felt bad that she didn't respond sooner. And I think she also felt vulnerable that here she could be under attack by people who were supposed to be helping her at any time.
I think she regrets not going sooner because of the position it put her in. It created a lot of criticism in the country regarding Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah.
And she regrets it because she understands the validity. Now, does she feel that emotion? That single tear could have represented every single piece of trauma she's ever had, and all it took was a tear, and she's good with it. I don't know.
It could have also reminded her of the deaths that she's experienced in her life, like losing her dad, which was a huge one for her. You never know what it brought up. So I think just everyone sometimes says she's so
maybe
cold.
She saw the end of Forrest Gump. I mean, I don't, like when Jenny passes and then the kid, there's the kid. Why is there a kid? How did they get a kid?
I can't.
Why?
So overall, you know, 144 people died in the disaster. 116 were children, mostly between the ages of 7 and 10. And 109 of the children died inside the Pant Glass Junior School.
Yes. And the worst part is they died inhaling the dust, because they can tell because there's dirt in their lungs. It's just a horrible situation. To die that way is just unimaginable.
And at the end of the episode, you'll see that not responding sooner has been one of Elizabeth's biggest regrets. And she has returned to Aberfan more than any other member of the royal family.
Yeah.
So, well, on that note, let's get into our special segment. I called it something else earlier, but I like to call it "The Tweets Are Talking." So there was
at
an art
insurance. We know a thing or two.
We do know a thing or two about these tweets.
So the Tweets Are Talking is our segment where we hit up the Twitter to see what people are saying about the episode. So under the Aberfan hashtag, I found Just Cass, who says people saying Olivia Colman leaving them in the cold in hashtag The Crown. Her portrayal of Queen Elizabeth II during this period is spot on. Elizabeth was cold during these years. If you were not mesmerized by her performance in Aberfan episode, you don't know world class acting.
It was great.
Next one. Rachel Ballard says, I'm ashamed to say until today when I watched The Crown, I hadn't heard of this tragedy. Now it's all I can think about. It was an incredible episode, and I am now compelled to visit this town to pay my respects. I mean, I hadn't heard of it either, so I was pretty surprised.
Wait till you hear about New Orleans.
You mean Katrina?
Yeah. I mean, if we're compelled to start visiting natural disasters, I mean, if I'm being very honest, we should know about a lot of them. They happen, unfortunately, and we sometimes we come together as a country and sometimes we just don't pay attention.
Well, I think this, I'm sure in Wales they probably teach kids about this, but not here in the U.S., you know what I'm saying? Man. Well, speaking of someone who also was affected by this, Rachel says, at just Jason Watkins, who plays Prime Minister Wilson, just watched your scene straight after the Aberfan disaster in The Crown Netflix. So incredibly moving and an amazing tribute to the victims. Lots of love and always remembering your Maud. Now, that led me to find out who Maud was. First of all, Jason responded to her tweet. And Jason said, let's go back to that tweet from Jason Watkins before we go to the article.
From Rachel?
No, Jason Watkins, he said, thank you so much, Rachel. Was very fortunate to be able to share the story, Aberfan. And yes, remembering my daughter at the same time. Some scenes so difficult for cast and crew and SAs, most of whom had direct connections to the tragedy. So Jason Watkins, who plays Prime Minister Wilson, he lost a daughter after she died at the age of 2 in a she had passed away from sepsis, and she died on New Year's Day 2011. They had taken her to the doctor several times when she showed symptoms, and they kept on saying, oh, here's some antibiotics. And then eventually his oldest daughter found her, and they said, I can't wake Maud up. And she passed away. So he, as an actor, can you imagine him knowing how it feels to lose a child and then having to act in this episode? It must have been hard for him. So that is very sad. So then
it is very sad. It's horrible. It's horrific. It must suck. I feel like Queen Elizabeth right now, but I can understand. It's very difficult.
And our last tweet for our segment is, it was so powerful to watch episode 3 of The Crown tonight. I'm from Neath, half hour away from Aberfan, and the tragedy is still so raw there. This is from Sarah Penny. She says, I took this a few months ago. The victims rest peacefully on a hill overlooking the town. Never forget. And we have a photo that she tweeted of what it looks like today. Isn't that a little haunting, just seeing all those
tombstones
and grave sites of knowing that there's children there. It's a beautiful space, but it's also very sad and haunting.
Yeah, it's very difficult to look at. It also makes me realize tombstones look like they cost a lot. They just, I need a nice tombstone.
It made me wonder if the government ended up like making them nicer after a while, you know, maybe they put something there in the beginning and then after a couple of years changed them. But so that is our special segment, The Tweaks Are Talking. Now we'll get into some news and gossip. So, happy anniversary, Queen Elizabeth and Prince Philip, who got married today on November 20th, 1947. The Queen is 93 and Prince Philip is 98. And there's a People.com article where Netflix joked, no spoilers for The Crown on Queen and Prince Philip's 72nd wedding anniversary. Basically, they're saying, oh, don't tell anybody what happens to this couple that they'll be married for 72 years when on the show, you know, we're just in like the middle of their relationship. So I thought that was cute. So we see Marie Claire tweeted out on their Instagram. They had some pictures from the wedding. You see the Queen and Prince Philip on their wedding day where she's looking young and youthful. And here they are more settled into their marriage. And here's a picture of them currently.
Yeah, the one before this, they were about to get it in. It's
so nice. Hopefully. That's how they got the 4 kids.
That's how Charles came about.
But Meghan Markle and Prince Harry said happy anniversary to Her Majesty the Queen and the Duke of Edinburgh. On this day, 72 years ago, they were married at Westminster Abbey. Many congratulations. And that was on the Sussex Royal Instagram account. And then Kate Middleton and Prince William said, wishing Her Majesty the Queen and His Royal Highness the Duke of Edinburgh a very happy 72nd wedding anniversary.
You would think they would tweet something like, you have like, you're English, you have these poets. It should have been like, your 72nd anniversary reminds me of a bow on a tree in the middle of the moon, in the light, in the pearls, in the water, in the ocean, in the sunlight.
The same hardcore Elizabeth we saw in the Aberfan episode is the same Elizabeth 72 years you know, years into her marriage later. The couple didn't even spend their anniversary together. Philip is at Sandringham, Norfolk, about 110 miles from London, where the Queen is based as part of her working week. And the monarch has his duties. She has her duties in London. And Philip, who's retired from royal duty, he retired in August 2017. He's been resting at the estate's wood farm. So,
well, he is 98. Congratulations to both of them for having such good health insurance. Let's just be honest.
Right there, like
92 and 98. Jeez,
they may make it to 100.
100. What are they, vampires?
I was like, do they have some kind of special serum that we don't have? Like, what's going on?
Them, so, and Betty White. What's going on? I mean,
just... and Cicely Tyson. She's got the fountain of youth as well. The Queen, what she did for her anniversary was, like, she's a working woman, so she spent some of...
Went to a strip club. Yes, it was actually excellent. We're reporting it here first. The Queen Elizabeth went to a strip club for her 92nd birthday and anniversary, and she was making it rain, except it hurt the strippers because pounds are coins.
Okay.
And she's okay.
Yes, that's she did that after she held audiences with the ambassadors of the Republic of Suriname and the Kyrgyz Republic. I think that's how you pronounce
it. Gotta love the Kyrgyz.
Yeah. So that is it for our episode tonight. One of my final thoughts of this episode, that it's, you know, when we're watching a television show, it's easy to be far removed from what we're seeing, from viewing from the outside in. And sometimes we become numb to these natural disasters. But we have to remember that, like the characters that we watch, you know, mothers lost their children, sisters lost their brothers, and entire families were lost. So, you know, be kind to each other and just be nice. Yeah. So, Taran, we're going to have you on our next episode, but where can people keep up with you? Where can they
find me? And I am Taran all across the board, and of course, hosting and paneling on a slew of other AfterBuzz after shows, because all of your favorite TV shows are my favorite TV shows, too.
And catch us next time on The Crown. And if you've missed any of our other episodes, you know, go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check them out. I am your host, Sahai Wilson, and you can find me at Say Hi Sahai. We look forward to having you again on The Crown After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.